This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, How Jealousy Destroys, Pastor Scott warns us about the corrosive nature of jealousy and teaches us how to defeat it. This message was recorded on Sunday, May 29, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning. It's nice to have all of you here today on this three-day weekend. Like I said, man, I know all of you could be down at the beach, down camping. I know when I used to go camping, back when I was at New Hope Hilo, I used to take my care group camping on Memorial Day weekend. And on Sunday morning, I would get up early, I would find a shower someplace, I would shower, change, and I would find a church to go to. And it was my time to just go and visit another church. But that was a good time when we were doing small groups. Until we went camping one time and there was like 50 of us showed up. It's like, oh. Then we were like, this is just too much to care for on one weekend. So I said, okay, we need to break into smaller groups. But, you know, over the last few weeks, we've been reading in Samuel and, you know, in the Old Testament. And we've been reading about King David, King Saul, and all these things. And I think that's where I got this from. And every time I read this part of the Bible, I get kind of stirred up, because King Saul, you know, they said he was the one of the reasons. Okay, this is goes back, but one of the reasons I get stirred up, I get kind of upset, because the Israelites said, "Man, we like when king to rule over us, like the guys around us, the pagan nations. We want a king." And then it was told them that if you get a king, then he's going to take your children, your field, your horses, your crops. And they said, yeah, we want that. So in a sense, they rejected God. They rejected God as the king, and they put Saul in place of God. I mean, that's a pretty bad trade, if you ask me. I mean, you trade in God for a man, like, wow, that is so far off. And then Saul was king, and he did so many things that kind of gets you upset. And I think one of his biggest downfalls was jealousy, pride, and he just didn't want to repent. And we all know jealousy. If you ever had a guy friend and then a girl come in between you, and oh, that is it. Friendship is over. Yeah, I mean, and did that ever happen to you guys? Because it happened to me. And man, maybe those girls, not all women, but man, sometimes some of them, they just really know how to play you against each other. And they drive a wedge, because, you know, men, we get jealous. Yeah, I mean, you guys get jealous. Nobody, only me. Okay, well, that's why I got this message. It was for me. James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in error and every evil thing. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. And it's like, man, back then I didn't know the Bible. But then when you read the scripture, you look back and it's like you can see it. Jealousy and strife, they are just like a clear picture of someone whose wisdom is not from God, but it's from the devil. It's unspiritual. Jealousy and selfish ambition or rivalry can only produce disorder, he says, James says. Confusion and evil practices. A wise person does not seek glory or gain, but that wise person is gracious and giving. Amen? I see jealousy, and sometimes in some people. Sometimes I catch it in myself, and hope, man, as soon as you catch it in yourself, you got to squash it and remove it, get rid of it, because it is no good. Number one, jealousy sets us against one another. It really does, you know. If you ever was jealous of someone before, look at this scripture and recall how it sets you against another person. Kind of like sets you to sabotage another person. And I seen that before, and I think I told this story a long time ago. At one of my jobs that I had, one of the jobs that we had was every night we had to take out the rubbish that accumulated all day. And one of the coworkers didn't like another coworker. And when he looked at the schedule and he seen the other coworker the next day closing up, he would get the rubbish bags and put slits in it, in the razor blade, then put it in the trash can. But dirty, yeah? So when he pulls it out the next day, surprise, rubbish all over the ground. And it's thinking like, wow, I witnessed that. And you know what? You know what the bad thing is about it? I did nothing about it. I was like, wow, it was, I was of the world. I did it. I was very, very far from God. And I witnessed those things, and I did nothing about it. It's kind of like shame on me. So jealousy, I mean, if you look in Samuel, you look at the story of Saul, King Saul and David, and it was so sad. In 1 Samuel 18, 6 and 7, and it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistines. So David had already killed Goliath. He was getting up there. Saul brought him into his like inner circles, like, hey, you're going to play music for me, you're going to do this. And Saul, he would be in Saul's army. And when they were coming back when David came back from killing the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. They came out to meet King Saul, right? They didn't say to meet King David, but meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David 10,000. Wow, but they came out to greet Saul, but they was putting more glory, I guess, or more praise under what David did. And I think for Saul, this was like the beginning of the end. And instead of embracing David as like, man, I get this guy underneath me that can do some damage to the enemies. And I can sit on my throne. And I can just give this guy my soldiers and tell David, go ransack that village today. Tomorrow you go over there, do war, and the next day you go over there and no problem. But he didn't like the idea of the women singing that Saul has slain thousands, David his 10,000. So instead of seeing David as a great ally, a great help, he got jealous. He got jealous. And that, I think, was the beginning of the end for me. James, thousands of years later, writes this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take away from them, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. You know, the jealousy that sometimes people have, it causes them to steal and to do stuff that's not good. Sometimes people even kill. Quarrels and fights. Okay? If our fellowship here was nothing but quarrel and fights, man, I think half of you would not want to come here. Or maybe even 90% of you wouldn't want to come here. And when the people from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, I don't like that church. They're always fighting. But we don't have that here. We have a great fellowship. We have a wonderful unity. And you know, when when James explained that these conflicts result from evil desires that's battling in within us, you know, that's the flesh against the spirit. We all have those battles. Sometimes we want more stuffs. Sometimes we want more money. Sometimes, man, we just want our boss's position. We set him up, we set him them up to fail so that we can sneak in and take their job. Something that doesn't happen here. Nobody wants my job. You know, because some people think that pastors, they just work 2 hours on Sundays. Really, yeah. And they say, wow, I like that job, man. He's up there, like, he's in church 2 hours on Sunday. That's it. And if you're a pastor, you know that that's not true. But people, they want more stuff. They're jealous of what you have. And they will do things to take it away from you. And that's what jealousy does. We don't get what we want. So we fight, we steal, we sabotage in order to get it. Number two, jealousy destroys relationships. Look at what happened between King Saul and David. 1 Samuel 18, David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Man, you know, I seen some parents not happy when their kids make more money than them. Man, when my children make more money than me, which is pretty soon, because they went to school, I will be happy. Here's your bills. Here's your insurance. Here's your phone bill. Hey, you know, by the way, give me some rent. But when we see New Hope Hilo reaching thousands of people, and us reaching tens, yay! Because that's all for the kingdom, amen? I hear people talk bad about Pastor Wayne, about Joel Osteen, and I was thinking, like, why are these Christian people talking bad about Christian pastors? And they say, oh, they just water it down so much that, hey, they're reaching people. People are getting saved. Isn't that a great thing? Shouldn't we applaud them? Yeah, we should. And you know what? When they get 25,000 people up there, and people are in that crowd and said, I want to come to a more intimate place, then they'll come here. They'll find us. And that's all good. When somebody in our kingdom, in our brotherhood, our sisterhood, in our fellowship, in the body of Christ succeeds, man, we got to rejoice with them, because jealousy will destroy relationship. See, Saul, he tried to kill David because he was jealous of David's popularity. Yet David, he continued to protect and comfort Saul. He refused to raise his hand against King Saul. And I think because of that, he was blessed. He prospered. But Saul, man, he just went downhill. Everything he did after that, after this, was like wrong, 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 wrong. No repent, wrong again. And he just went downhill. Well, David just kept doing everything right. Another place we read about jealousy is in Genesis 37. About Joseph. In Genesis 37, 3 and 4. Now, Israel, which was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a varied colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers. So they hated him and could not speak to him on a unfriendly terms. Man, it's kind of sad, yeah? When a parent favors one child, all the siblings hate the child instead of the parent for being that favoritism. If you have children, and if you have children, multiple children, for me, I could never have favorites because I love them all. I don't know how. I guess because this was a child from the from a different mother on the rest, so he loved him more. And you can see the evil that he's done there. I mean, they hated Joseph, not Israel. And it was part of Joseph's fault too, because he said some things to them that was true, but the timing was so far off. And the love that the father had for Joseph caused them to be jealous. Man, if you have a sibling who's loved more, you know, use that to your advantage. Tell him go ask mom and dad for the car. Tell him to ask mom and dad for extra money so he can share it with you. Don't get mad. Just think, how can this benefit me? Right? They might not be right, but, you know, better than being jealous and hating him. Look in Acts, in the New Testament, Acts 13:42. And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. They was preaching the word, and the people was like, man, come back and speak to us again. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, the next Sunday, the next Sabbath day, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things that Paul, was spoken by Paul, and were blaspheming. Man, it's so sad that the preaching of Paul and Barnabas brought nearly the whole city together. And because of that, the Pharisees and the leaders, they didn't like that. And these guys were supposed to be the religious leaders. These guys were the guys supposed to be leading everybody to God. Now their true colors came out. And they were speaking things against what Paul was saying. Man, could you imagine that? Now they were on the wrong side saying things opposing God. And that's so sad. Because if New Hope Hilo preached and the whole city, and there was just my family here on Sunday, and 20,000, 60,000 people was up there, man, that would be awesome. That, I might be out of a job, but the kingdom grows. And that's terrific. And in Acts 13:50, but the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. It's so sad. These guys drove them away. So now what? These guys, they're going to be starving for the true word of God. Instead, they're going to be taught the lies that the Pharisees had. Instead of accepting the truth, these leaders stirred up the opposition and ran them out of town. They, when confronted, you know, sometimes people, they don't respond. But when God's Spirit points out changes in our lives, we need to do it. When these Jewish leaders were confronted with the truth that Paul was preaching, they got jealous. Could you imagine if they repented, they followed God, the greater power that they would have had. But their jealousy, their desire for power, man, it caused them to go down the wrong path. Sometimes when we are driven by jealousy, I want that black Mercedes out there. I don't want the bills that come with it, but I want that. You might see me, hey, we're gonna take a special offering today. No way, right? Yeah. Not in this house of God. Remember, one of those TV preachers was trying to raise, I don't know, $850,000 for an airplane so he could go preach the gospel. Hey, if that's what he wanted to do, that's what he wanted to do. I know if I ask you for $850 for a jet or a helicopter, and so I got to go down, I got to be able to get down to Manuka faster because people need to hear the word. So I need to get a helicopter that I can land in this field and load up my ice chest because I'm going to take drinks to all those thirsty fishermen down there. So let's give empty your wallets. You know, it's like, come on. Because the money part, people, the jealousy and all that, the greed, that's wrong. And I love, you know, when God gives these pictures in the Bible, it's so clear of what happens when we have this spirit of jealousy within us. But the thing is, and we're not going to end with that because there's a cure. And number one is contentment. You know, you got to learn to be content with what you were given, with what you have. And I've learned that over the years that, hey, although that black, nice black Mercedes is nice and cool, smooth ride, comfortable, I have my truck, which I had since 2003. It recently got a paint job, so it's like I'm more content now. But I was happy with it because it took me here and it took me there. There was dented and rusted, but it got fixed. I was happy. I was satisfied. And I didn't need to get the 2016 version that had more features. And I'm just happy with it because when we go holo holo, when we turn off the highway and everybody's going down the hill, I got to stop, get out, lock my hubs. Man, I don't have to push button things, but hey, that's all right. Because I got a car, right? And I'm happy. Even if it's, you know, it's 17 years old, it still runs. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'm just content. Philippians 4:11, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. See, Paul, he did not beg God's people to help him do his work. He just said, hey, I have some needs, and he trusted God to meet it. Paul had learned the lesson of being content. And the changing circumstances did not affect the contentment he enjoyed. And he was saying that he could live with a lot of stuff. He could live with a little bit of stuff. Whatever it was, if he had a whole truckload of power tools, he could be alive. If he had a little truck with no power tools, he was fine. If he had just a donkey, he would be happy. He was fine. And we don't always need the next latest smartphone. I mean, one phone is enough. And whatever you have, I'm sure, is sufficient. Because back in the day, remember when we had no cell phones? Do you remember those days? Well, you young ones don't, because you guys probably grew up with it. But back when I was not following God, and I was running around here and there, not going home, and you know, for a couple of days because I was doing stupid stuff. I had no cell phone. And I can guarantee if I did, my dad or my mom would have been calling it all day because I wouldn't go home because I was out doing stupid stuff. But now our children get cell phone and we call them up whenever they're late. But, you know, we got to be content with what we have, with the clothes that we have, with what God has given us. I think the only place that we cannot just relax and be content is in our spiritual growth. Amen? We need to keep growing there. And then number two, unselfishness. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. When we look at the context of where this is written in 1 Corinthians, you know, when you can be unselfish and give stuff away, especially to those in need, I think it would break the unselfishness part, and it would help us to be less jealous. You know, we need to think of others, like Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And yesterday, our men's ministry, we were talking about sometimes when churches, they all look inwards to what's going on here. Oh, man, let's close up this building. Let's make ourselves some nice, comfortable air conditioning. Let's put carpet. Let's put padded seats. Hey, let's get a hot table for the buffet line so... you know, we get hot food every week. Let's build a kitchen. All that stuff is good. But it's all looking to serve us when we need to be looking, what can we do out there? How can we reach our neighbor? How can we reach that one more person for Christ? Amen? Because selfishness, I tell you, can ruin a church. But genuine humility can build it up. And being humble and involves having a true perspective about ourselves. It doesn't mean that we put ourselves down. But we are sinners, but we are saved by God's grace. We have great worth. We are to lay aside our selfishness and treat others with respect and courtesy, considering their interests. You know, because selfishness, you know, when I read these verses in the Bible, and man, you can see how. And I don't know if this message was just for me today, but you can see how that selfishness destroys. And if you see yourself on that path, get off, man. Get off and look for that U-turn and turn around and go in the other direction. Because nothing good can come out of jealousy. Amen? Nothing.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.